This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Most of us probably don't have the time to take in 200 great American films in one sitting, so the reduced Shakespeare Company has made it a little easier. The three-man troupe, best known for boiling down the Bard and granulating the great books, has now condensed 197 of what they consider Hollywood's best into a stage show that runs under 2 hours. After all, you could waste that time on Citizen Kane alone. How much better to throw in Avatar, The Sound of Music, Chinatown, all six Rockies, and, well, so much more. The reduced Shakespeare Company brought a completely Hollywood abridged here to Washington, D.C. for a run at the Kennedy Center. Today, Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Dominic Conti join us here in Studio 4A. If you'd like to propose a cinematic condensation, if you'd like them to downsize your favorite film, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, Oliver Stone joins us. His new documentary, South of the Border, showed at the Silver Docks Festival last night. But first, Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Dominic Conti, the reduced Shakespeare Company. Thanks very much for coming. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having. And thanks for bringing all these staff members in here. They get younger every year.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you get us started with a taste of completely Hollywood abridged?
All right. Well, here's the first thing you need to know about the movie.
Yeah, this is Hollywood lesson number one.
Write this down.
Every new movie is just a combination of two old movies.
Right.
See, I could see a lot of our people out there nodding. Yep. You all knew all this. You know, studios don't want to take any risks.
Because movies are incredibly expensive to make. And that's why every new movie that comes out is either a straight remake of an old movie, Casino Royale, Batman, Karate Kid.
Or a combination of two old movie ideas.
Right, like they combine James Bond and Home Alone and get Spy Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or they mix My Fair Lady and Clute and get Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm. Or you mix Unforgiven with The Birdcage and get Brokeback Mountain, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Gene Kelly could take Dustin Hoffman to Las Vegas in Singin' in the Rain Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Meg Ryan could fake an orgasm for Clint Eastwood when Dirty Harry met Sally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy, Winona Ryder, Dr. Dolittle Women. No. Maybe not.
You know what? Yeah. This one has Oscar winner written all over it. Kevin Bacon teaches a disabled writer to dance in My Left Foot Loose.
Oh. All singing, all dancing aboard a German submarine, Das Showboat.
Yes.
That's Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Dominic Conti performing completely Hollywood abridged at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C., here in Studio 4A. Again, if you'd like them to condense your favorite film down to 15 seconds ago of complete absurdity, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And why did you eventually you did the Bible? You did all of Shakespeare. Great, great language. Now you're taking on Rocky?
Well, yes, we're taking on something really important for a change. I mean, it just seemed like, you know, the whole world, we boiled down Hollywood into 12 easy lessons because the whole world is addicted to the movies.
Mm-hmm. So it seems only appropriate to look at Hollywood through a 12-step program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hollywood is taking over the world. It really is the dominant cultural force of the 21st century.
And an international commodity.
Yeah.
Do you know what America's largest multi-billion dollar export is?
The movies.
No, weapons.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But the movies are a close second.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we've taken serious topics, Western literature, American history, the Bible. And so we thought, well, maybe we go in a more popular direction.
Yeah.
Doesn't Transformers 2 get a turn?
Yeah, absolutely.
It should.
It should. Well, and also we love the movies. That was the other thing. We spent so many years doing our shows, reducing these subjects, and we absolutely love the movies for different reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I love, escapism. You know, I love movies with special effects like Avatar or where they use miniatures or where they turn the camera 90 degrees to make it look like they're climbing up the side of a building.
Yeah.
I love thoughtful, independent, totally unbiased films like Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yes, exactly. You know what? I love to watch actors stretching themselves, you know, doing things they're not necessarily good at, like Clint Eastwood singing or Keanu Reeves acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're sure you've picked the 100, that's an interesting number, 197 great American films of all time?
Actual greatness may vary.
Ah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to inspire debate and conversation. You know, there's a lot of lists come out, and everybody sort of agrees. All right, Citizen Kane, Godfathers 1 and 2, All About Eve, Gone with the Wind. Maybe
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur. These are some of the great films. But
And Benji 1, 2, and 3.
Benji 1, 2, and 3. And Rocky's 1 through 12. But it was great for us to just kind of examine a more populist subject.
Yeah, I mean, there's some agreement on the top 25, and after that, what did we have funny ideas for?
Yeah.
What would people like? And so it ended up at 197.
Anything that works.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You got it. You know, and our favorite movie of all time is Wordplay, starring Neil Conan.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and you know how to get a hand there.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get callers in on the conversation. 800-989. Will Shorts might object to that. Anyway, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And this is Deborah. Deborah calling us from, I can hardly read that. You're going to have to pronounce that, Deborah.
Okeechobee.
Okay, there you go.
I was calling Steel Magnolias. Have they worked on that movie at all? That's my favorite.
Steel Magnolias.
It would be so great for us three guys to play those six women. Yeah.
There are a lot of one-liners in that one.
There are a lot of good. Robert Harling is an excellent screenwriter, and Dolly Parton's arguably best work, I would say.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
is there another way you could spin Steel Magnolias, though? Like, you know, Steel Magnolias.
Well,
you know, like, could be a hardcore sort of action movie.
Well, we combine movies. It's one of the things that we discovered as we talked about it. Movies are combinations of old movies, and we don't really do Steel Magnolias, but we do a Jane Austen action movie chick flick called Darcy's Angels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to come to the Kennedy Center until July 11th to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Deborah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next. This is, I know this is Kalamazoo. That's easier to pronounce. And it's Jim. Jim's on the line.
Yeah. I actually had a question as far as what two movies they had in mind that created the movie The Crow with Brandon Lee.
Ooh.
The Crow, the chop socky film.
Mm. Yeah, the chop socky. That's the film on which Brandon Lee died,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. We couldn't find a lot of humor in that.
Yeah. That was not that funny, but it was sort of Marlon Perkins' Wild Kingdom meets Spider-Man. No, I don't know, the superhero movie that dead come back to life. No, there's a reason, as you can tell, why we didn't cover that movie.
The Birds Meet Darkman.
The Birds Meet Darkman.
Oh,
well
bad.
Done.
With a touch of freaks in there.
It could be. Yes, and one thing you learn: never cross
the
freak.
Absolutely. Yes.
Todd Browning lives. Thanks very much for the call, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. As you go about this, you talk about these combinations of films, the 12 rules of cinema. Is one of them, in fact, that all films are made from two other films?
That's one. That is Hollywood lesson number one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There have to be others.
Well, and there's one of the – Hollywood lesson number two is that in the movies you want to show it. Don't say it, right? In other words, don't say something if you can show it instead. Try to tell your story visually. Use action, not words. Be physical, not verbal.
That's how we say that in radio, too.
Yes, well, exactly right. Yeah, show it, don't say it. Just explain it. You want your movies to be visual, not oral. O-R-A-L or A-U-R-A-L, right? I mean, the point is, don't just stand there talking long after the audience has understood what you're saying. Do you understand what I'm saying, Neil? let me see if I can explain a bit. You know, just get to the point. Be succinct.
Well, succinctly put.
I think I said that. I think I've clarified that.
Okay. Short and to the point.
Yeah. Terse, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Terse
of the D'Urbervilles. Yes.
But there's a whole realm of cinema, maybe its first 30 years, that's totally closed to you because they only had title cards. It was silent movies.
Oh, well, it's not close to us. In fact,
Here's our little tribute to the great era of the silent movies.
Thank you.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yes.
I think that was.
Yes.
That works better on stage when people are
listening.
Yeah. It's
funny how that physically.
You know, let's not do that on the radio next time. That really died a death.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no mime.
Do we want to go to the most important Hollywood lesson that we learned?
Well, the most important Hollywood lesson? Well, there's only two movie plots.
Well, that's true.
Wait, yeah. Wait, only two? Say that again. Only why?
Well, every movie ever made is either about coming of age or a fish out of water.
No.
Talk us through this.
Okay. Well, in a coming of age movie, the lead begins immature, but by the end he grows up and discovers what's truly important.
Hold on. The two movie plots are Boy Meets Girl and The Jesus Story.
No. Like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, coming of age, he finds his destiny.
No, wait a second. Luke Skywalker is the chosen one. He's the savior of the galaxy. That's The Jesus Story.
No. Now, in a fish-out-of-water movie, the lead ends up someplace where he doesn't fit in.
Like Peter Sellers and being there.
Exactly.
No, gotcha. Chauncey Gardner walks on water, for God's sakes. That's The Jesus Story.
So wait. So E.T. and Beverly Hills Cop are fish-out-of-water stories, but what about The Graduate?
Coming of age.
Boy Meets Girl.
Splash.
Fish-out-of-water.
All right. When Harry Met Sally.
Boy Meets Girl.
The Way We Were.
Goy Meets Girl.
The Crying Game.
Boy Is Girl.
Silence of the Lambs.
Boy Eats Girl.
What about The Graduate?
Coming of age.
The Jesus Story.
No!
Come on. In the Graduate, you know, Dustin Hoffman rides off in the bus with the young lady and you don't know how it's going to end.
Well, what about The Godfather? What about The Godfather?
Coming of age.
Jesus Story?
No.
Michael Corleone is the son of God. Father. Think about it.
All right. What about Harry Potter?
The Jesus Story.
The Matrix?
Jesus Story.
Jesus Christ Superstar?
Fish out of water.
Oh, okay.
And as we all know from the end of The Graduate, what do we do now? Reduced Shakespeare Company are with us here in Studio 4A, Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Dominic Conti. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. If you've got a favorite film that you'd like to see them condense, or some film that you think is the product of two other films, usually better to begin with, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Usually when the Reduced Shakespeare Company performs, they take about 2 hours to run through 200 or so of their favorite Hollywood films. Today we're giving them about 40 minutes. Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, Dominic Conti of the Reduced Shakespeare Company are with us. They're performing Completely Hollywood Abridged right now at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. Well, actually, they're performing bits from it right here in Studio 4A. If you've got a favorite movie you'd like them to downsize for us, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And we've got some people here with questions in our studio audience.
I'm Allison from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was wondering if y'all could condense Grease.
Oh, well, if we go back to the thing about there's only two movie plots, I think any movie that anybody would say, we could say which of the two movie plots it falls
into. Yeah, Grease is Boy Meets Girl. Boy Meets Girl. And it's also sort of coming of age.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could also say that it's The Jesus Story because sort of John Travolta saved the first movie. You know,
and was not there to save the second.
He was not there to save the second and third.
Well, we needed a second coming there. It didn't happen.
Yes, we did.
Or Bye Bye Birdie meets Better Music. a question from a caller with a very bad line. So can you combine American Beauty and The Shawshank Redemption?
Ooh. Wow. American Beauty.
And The Shawshank Redemption. I Love My Neighbor's Daughter. Ah!
That was of you listening, that was a visual.
Again, these visual things don't work on the radio so much. That's so odd.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. Let's go to Alex, and Alex calling from Kansas City.
Two quick questions. One, are you guys coming to the Kansas City metro area? We'd love to see you perform. Two, could you condense the Matrix series into 15 seconds or less and or Super Troopers?
Two very similar films.
Yes.
Well, The Matrix is easy to reduce.
Whoa. Yeah.
I thought that was Bill and Ted.
The movie would last only a couple seconds if he took the other pill, right?
Right, that's right.
It was also Much Ado About Nothing. It was kind of anything. Yeah.
It's getting back to your original shtick.
That's
there,
right.
So,
exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. And Super Troopers, that's obviously when the big lizards come down from the other planet and start singing ABBA songs. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Super Troopers was about.
That was Starship Troopers. No, Super Troopers is about the cops and the highway patrol.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that's Reno 911 meets any cop buddy movie. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for being the one.
We would love to come to Kansas City at any time.
Yeah, check our website. We have our tour dates.
Yeah, ReduceShakespeare.com if I'm allowed to plug a different website.
Isn't this all just a plot to write cable TV off of your taxes?
We can't really say.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely it is. It's also a plot to try to get on cable TV.
We have another questioner here at the microphone in the studio.
Hi, I'm Brian from Los Angeles, and I was hoping you'd reduce The Big Lebowski.
Oh, that would be The Small Lebowski.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
I am drinking a Caucasian right now.
I'm trying to work Bowling for Columbine in there somewhere. But,
Well, the Big Lebowski is also sort of a coming-of-age movie as well, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
What's
you
know, a little Jesus story there, too? The dude.
The
right?
dude. You know? You know, the dude abideth.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
You need to get that fixed.
I do need to get that fixed.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, he wins an Oscar, too. So.
There mm-hmm. you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob with us from Little Rock.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if there was any serious tension in choosing the movies between the three of you guys.
Yes, there used to be four of us. Yes.
Yes, there is tension. We argue quite a bit about all the time about what a favorite movie is. What's your favorite movie is Rocky
Four.
Yeah, really.
Which one was that?
Yeah, Rocky Four.
I know, but which one is Rocky Four?
Ivan Drago kills Apollo Creed during a fight.
Okay, yeah. All right. The Russian, yeah. the Russian
yes,
one.
That's yes, the one with the Russian. Good one, the good Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah. See, and the one yeah, with, here's an example.
Not the one
of
that won the
Oscar.
Tension.
You know, yeah. I'm feeling it right now, right in the old bloodstream. Of all the great movies you could pick, Rocky IV is your favorite.
Yeah, you want to make something out of it? String bean, I'll break Whoa. You like a pretzel.
I withdraw my complaint. Yeah.
But you know, but that is sort of Hollywood lesson 11.5, right?
There's no accounting for taste.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay. Jacob, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
Email from Charles in Minnesota. Tom Cruise and Will Smith in Born on the 4th of July, Independence Day.
Now he's writing our material.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's
he wants 10% if you use it.
He's the president of the Department of Redundancy Department. Yes.
Right. This, again, from David in Knoxville. Combine all the Star Trek movies and the Star Wars movies into one movie.
Wow.
Can we leave out the last three or first three, depending on how you define it, Star Wars?
Yeah, can we leave out, if we leave off the first, the second trilogy of Star Wars, and if we leave off the odd numbered Star Trek movies.
Yes, exactly. Right. I think we'll keep Wrath of Khan in there.
Yeah, keep Wrath of Khan in there. Keep 2, 4, 6, 8, and the new one.
And the new one's good.
And the new one's good. One's yes. Good, yeah. So, yes, we could totally do that.
Otherwise, you end up with Galaxy Quest.
Also,
it's not a bad movie.
You could do a lot worse.
And one of the great lessons of cinema or Star Trek in that is when Tony Shalhoub goes down to the elevator. Wait a minute. I'm not going down to that planet. I'm the extra crewman. I'm going to get killed.
That's it.
That's right. By Grabthar's hammer.
Let's see if we can go next to Charles. Charles with us from Charleston.
My favorite movie is about a fish out of water who comes of age because he meets a girl. It's the original Karate Kid, and I'd love to hear that broken down.
Wow. Wow. Wax on, wax off, my man.
The karate infant, I guess. Yeah.
That's how you'd reduce that even further. Yeah. Yeah. The karate toddler.
Yes.
I thought it was curious that crane move that he pulls off in the first one then comes back to bite him in the tushy in, what is it, the second or the third one? Because then the guy does defend it. So that makes Pat Morita a liar.
Yeah.
That's not really part of anything, but I just, you know, something is bothering him.
Thank you for sharing, Don.
Yeah, it's been stuck in my craw for a while. I'm glad you brought it up, Charles.
Hey. This is Michael from Lansing in Texas. Lansing, Kansas. Wants to hear how you might reduce Lawrence of Arabia.
Wow.
It needed it because it was in two parts. You know.
Yeah, it yes. wasn't. Yeah.
Lawrence of Suburbia. We can keep it closer to home. And we'll just call him Larry. Larry of Suburbia.
Larry of Suburbia.
And put him on a golf course. Get rid of all that sand.
Yeah, the sand is too much. Yeah. Makes me thirsty.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's all we need to do. I mean, one of the other things we learned about Hollywood movies is that you, no matter how long it is, no matter how reduced it is, you've got to fill your Hollywood movie with beautiful movie stars. That's the way to make it a hit.
Beautiful and tall.
Well, actually, a lot of movie stars are shorter than you think because, you know, in fact, my idol, Tom Cruise, is legally a hobbit. So that's...
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, I'll buy that.
Let's go to Veronica. Veronica with us from Baton Rouge.
Hi, I'd like you to combine all things Nick Cage.
All things Nick Cage. So lots of drinking on Air Con.
Yeah, lots of drinking on Air Con, and it depends. If Nick Cage in serious mode, he doesn't wear a hairpiece. But when he's in bad Hollywood action movie, he wears a series of elaborate hair pieces.
So much like William Shatner.
Exactly.
Different ones for different films.
Different films. So it really depends on the Nick Cage toupee. Right. Toupee or not toupee, really.
One of us, probably me, would have to work on my Nick Cage mumble. I'll have to get it down somewhere.
Get a little more volume. Bro. We need a little more volume. Yeah.
Oh, that's all I had.
Oh,
sorry. That's like I said, I'm working on it.
I thought you were going to disappear into the pyramid there and find something for us. Anyway, thanks very much, Veronica. Let's see if we can go next to this is Chip. Chip calling us from Portland.
Yes, I had an interest in what they might do for 2001 Space Odyssey.
Hmm. Ooh, yeah.
11 Space Odyssey.
Yeah. 20.
Yeah.
20 Space Odyssey. Just stick with the monkeys. I liked that movie up until it got into space.
Oh, only the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
But you have an opinion about another Stanley Kubrick movie.
Oh, Stanley Kubrick. Well, okay, this is going to go against people's grains, but I think Stanley Kubrick is the mayor of the overrated. You know,
oh,
mayor
man.
Of the
Burn.
Over- yeah.
Super Burn.
Yeah. Shining was a great book. Terrible movie. There, I said it.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide
Take
Shut.
Take your shot.
Ooh, you know, I liked that movie so much, I didn't even see it.
You're too busy with Clockwork Puce, perhaps.
Now, Dr. Strangelove, however, great movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Great movie. Fantastic.
Which of the Sellers characters did you like the best?
Me? Oh, I would say probably Mandrick.
Was he the president?
No, he was the colonel that was assigned to the Air Force Base.
Yeah.
I love his presence.
Was it the Colonel Bat Guano in that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also like Peter Sellers' American president and his accent for his American president. Very, very good.
Lovely.
Yeah.
There's an absolutely awful movie called After the Fox, which is just filled with incredible talent, people who made wonderful films in many other contexts, except this one. And in it, Peter Sellers is forced to play an American. He doesn't speak English and just goes into a restaurant, the only good part of the movie, and just makes noises in an American accent.
Oh, now I'm going to rent that. Yeah. That sounds pretty good, actually.
It's actually pretty good.
That's what House is all about. Isn't that House? Hugh Laurie, that's what he's doing, I think.
Yeah. Brad wants to know about Chinatown.
Who doesn't? Mm. Yeah, forget it, Brad. It's Chinatown.
It's Chinatown.
Yeah. China Alley. Yeah.
China Court.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz, Girl Meets...
Monkeys.
Fish Out of Water.
Yeah.
Fish Out of Water?
Yeah, Girl Meets Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Little Jesus story in there?
The Wizard, I guess. It could be the Jesus story.
Absolutely. Yeah. Depending. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we do a version where Toto is played by Yoda.
Yeah.
Follow the yellow brick road, you must.
Max is on the line from is this Pink in Oklahoma?
Pinker, Oklahoma, yes. I'm interested in your take-off on Mel Brooks or Woody Allen movies.
Taking off on the taker-offers.
All we try to do is be as good as they are.
We wish.
You know, we wish. You know,
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. We do our own, we do our Western. We do a Western, but with far fewer, much less flatulence.
It's trickier to put the comic hammer to stuff that's already pretty darn funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to take,
The world needs humor. Thank you.
Yes.
That's true, though.
We agree. And we couldn't find the humor in Woody Allen's off-screen antics either, so we decided to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear, writes Paul by email, Top Gun, the greatest movie ever.
Okay, there's a problem with the premise. But So how do we reduce Top Gun?
Bottom pistol?
Yeah. And there's, there's some boy meets boy business going on in there, some say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's some theories that would back that up.
Yes, that's right. It's not quite boy meets girl. It's
I'm writing a book about it.
It's boy meets boy, boy meets jet.
And boy sings a lot of songs on the jukebox, too.
That's right. Boy
Righteous
sings.
Brothers.
It's sort of an 80s, one of those 80s romantic musical montages, which is such a great Hollywood cliche, which we try to dabble in. We get all the Hollywood cliches into our show, and plus a few cliches that we made up.
You made up cliches?
Yeah. But we also found a bunch of cliches. Like if a character coughs in a movie, he's dying.
They're dead by the end.
They're dead by the end, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that formula, by the way, for the old Perry Mason TV show. It is always the character with the fewest lines in the first half hour.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's always
if there's an elevator operator going up. He did it.
He did it. And it's all, or it's always the really great actor that you're sitting there the entire movie going, I wonder why he took this role. Oh, he's Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh,
no, sitting there with a smug look on his face, just waiting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're talking with the reduced Shakespeare Company, Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Dominic Conti about their show, Completely Hollywood Abridged. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go next to this is Leslie, and Leslie's with us from Wasilla in Alaska.
We're getting people from with just Wasilla. From comedy town names. Wasilla, Piper, Hoka,
what was that? Oinka, Oinka Boinga?
Yeah.
Okachobee,
Kalamazoo.
Somebody from Cucamonga soon.
Yeah.
All right, Wasilla, you're up.
Hey guys. Well, you know, Wasilla is funny for so many reasons, but conversation. I am so thrilled and amazed about this troupe being on the show today because I was a fan of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, oh my gosh, 30 plus years ago when it was a group of guys who were friends with my older brother Jerry at the Renaissance Fair in California.
That's where we started.
And that's right. It is so cool. And you guys have actually even been to Anchorage, and I was able to see you here last year or 2 years ago.
Leslie, they're still wearing tights.
So I just thought it'd be fun to hear a little bit about, you know, how the troupe has evolved since those Renaissance Fair days and how amazing it is that you guys are still together.
Well, thank you, first of all, for making us feel very, very old.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Yes. We were all five when the troupe started. And, it started at Renaissance Festival in Northern and Southern California, doing 20-minute versions of reductions of Shakespeare's work and passing the hat. And that's where our style developed, fast, funny, and physical, to keep people at the shows to the very end, and they'd throw money into the hat. And it was done for the love of it on weekends and the summers at these Ren fairs.
For about, almost 10 years.
Yeah. And then it evolved into a full-time job around 1990. We ran for a year in London in 92-93. Mm-hmm. We came to the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. for the first time in 1994. That kind of put us on the map here. And then the troupe ran three shows in rep in London for about 10 years at the Criterion Theater and Piccadilly Circus, our Shakespeare show, our Bible show, and American history show. So kind of what Jerry Lewis is to France, we are to England. We're old, bloated, and angry. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we're hoping to, I think we're coming to Fairbanks sometime in 2011.
Yep.
All right.
So we'll be back up in Alaska.
Leslie, thanks very much. Here's an email. This is from David in Laramie. I just tried to log on to the Reduced Shakespeare Company website, and it's overwhelmed with traffic, and you cannot access it. So I guess both lines are crammed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's the first time I think that more than two people have tried to do it at the same time. So that's a very...
And you know what? Somebody probably cut the string between the tin cans. So, yeah.
One thing you haven't done, though, documentaries. Do you do documentaries?
Well, they're kind of dry.
They are a little dry. And also one of our favorite genres is Western. So we thought there was a way to combine, you know, the action of a Western with the hard-hitting social analysis of a documentary.
And it might go a little something like
this.
Well done. I'm calling you out, Nimrod.
I ain't backing down, Beelzebub. Your campfire's polluting the air.
Oh, it's my land. You eco-Nazis can't tell me what to do.
Your carbon footprint's having a negative impact on this here ecosystem.
Next thing you'll tell me, I gotta stop eating beans.
Yep, greenhouse gases.
I ain't got to listen to your speechifying.
I reckon you'll listen to anything I got to say.
I reckon on the count of three, we'll let our guns do the talking. One...
Two.
Now hold on a minute, fellas.
It's Nobel Prize winning Sheriff Al Gore.
Stay out of this, Sheriff.
It don't concern you.
Global warming concerns all of us. You need to put your guns in a special lockbox. That will.
We can't let these people get away with it, Sheriff.
I hear you, and together we can find a solution. After all, I did invent the internet. If you just come back to the jailhouse, we can watch my DVD. Global warming is both a challenge and an opportunity, and now that I'm 95% tipper free, I can really focus on it.
Glad to see that one has a happy ending. Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, Dominic Conti, the Reduced Shakespeare Company with us here in Studio 4A. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk with director Oliver Stone. Stay with us. He's got a new documentary out. It's The Talk of the Nation from NPR News.